Take us and use us to love and serve in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good
morning. It's great to be here again, and thank you, Kim, for the opportunity given to me to bring the Word of God today. Some of you might know me. My name is Reverend Mohammad Ektedarian, and I'm originally from Iran. As you know, Iran is one of the countries in the heart of the Middle East. I was born in a very strict Muslim family in Shiraz, south of Iran. And like many Iranians, because I opposed the regime, I had to flee the country because my freedom was threatened. So I became an asylum seeker. And during my journey in Europe, I was introduced to Christ in an Iranian pastor house in France. He and his family loved me and take care of me for just 6 days, but they shared the love of Christ as such. And he asked me a crucial question: do you have peace in Islam? I said, yes, of course I have, but within my heart I knew I was a sinner. There is a wall of sin between me and God. I rejected the call at first, but God worked and hard and hard in my heart and in my life, and eventually in a detention center in UK, I became a Christian. And then I ordained in 2016, Liverpool Anglican Cathedral, and since then I had several ministerial posts. I'm currently working for Christian Aid as a church engagement and fundraising officer. I'm really more than happy to share more details of my life during tea and coffee, if you like. Imagine a small coastal town with a proud lighthouse that has stood for over the century, guiding ships safely through treacherous waters. The lighthouse keeper, an elderly man called Eli, has tended to the light for decades. His eyesight has begun to fail, and he relies heavily on routine and tradition to ensure the light remains steady. However, he has grown complacent, sometimes neglecting to maintain the lighthouse. His two assistant sons, Hofni and Phinehas, are careless and misuse their position, leaving the lighthouse in a state of despair. One stormy night, a young apprentice named Samuel, eager and attentive, stays close to the light. As the storm rages, Samuel hears a faint call for help. At first, he thinks it might be a wind or maybe Eli calling him. He runs to Eli several times, but Eli, old and tired, dismissed him. Eventually, Eli realized that Samuel might be hearing something significant and instruct him to listen carefully. Samuel goes back to the lighthouse, and this time he hears the calling clearly. It's a ship caught in a storm, its crew desperate for guide. He listened to the captain's message. Samuel quickly responds, adjusting the lighthouse beam to shine brighter and sending signal to the guide ship to safety. The ship's crew follow the light, safely navigated through the rocky shore and docks in a harbor. In the morning, the town people gather to hear the story of the rescue. They realize that despite the negligence and complacency of the old keeper and his assistants, the young apprentice's attentiveness and willingness to listen to the call saves lives. The town decided it's time for change. They honored the old keeper for his years of service, but appointed Samuel as a new lighthouse keeper. Recognizing the need for vigilance, fresh perspective, and responsiveness to new calls. Perhaps this illustration shed some light on the passage we just heard in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we are introduced to the corruption of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who abused their priestly positions. This chapter also highlights Hannah's prayer for sons, for a son who she declared dedicated to God, resulting in the birth of Samuel. The backdrop of sins and corruption set the stage for the prophetic calling for Samuel in chapter 3. A man of God warns Eli of impending judgment on his household due to his son's action, foreshadowing the divine message that Samuel will deliver. Now in chapter 3, opens with the young Samuel serving in the temple under Eli. This period marks by the lack of divine communication, with the text noting that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions are not widespread. This spiritual silence underscored the significance of God's direct intervention through Samuel. The writer ironically said, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see. Perhaps it was the state of Eli's physical and spiritual life, far from the Lord, alone in his room. But Samuel hears God's voice calling in the night. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Isn't it this verse a great model of prayer? Speaking and listening. God's message to Samuel is a severe judgment against Eli's house, emphasizing the themes of divine judgment and necessity of spiritual renewal. In the wider context, the setting of the 1 Samuel 3 is during the transition from the period of the judges to the establishment of the monarch in Israel. The book of Judges recounts the cycle of the rebellion, oppression, and deliverance, highlight the needs for the strong leadership. This era is characterized by the verse in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. This illustrating that the spiritual and moral chaos widespread at the time. In an environment of darkness and light, obedience and disobedience, chaos and order, now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. Calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. Remember, Samuel in Hebrew means God has heard, or his name is El, or God. Samuel's calling signifies a pivotal moment and God's intervention to address this stagnation. Samuel represents a renewal emphasis on a direct communication from God through prophet. His calling reflects God's desire to redirect Israel spiritually and establish a new leadership. But how? God's choice of Samuel, a young boy, reflects of his non-discriminated nature. Anyone from any background, ages, or culture can be called by God to serve him. The harsh message of the judgment against Eli's house is not merely punitive, but serves as a cleansing process to pave the way of the new leadership and God's renewal presence among his people. Also, Samuel's obedience and willingness to deliver this difficult message underscore the importance of responding faithfully to God's call, even when it is challenging. Even when it is challenging. Samuel's call marks a crucial turning point in Israel history. His role as a prophet, judge, and leader bridged the gaps between the period of the judges and establishment of the kingdom of God under David. A a symbol of the kingdom of God under his Son, Jesus Christ. Samuel's faithfulness and dedication set the standard for spiritual leadership and responsiveness to God's voice. In the New Testament passage, Mark 2 and 3, Jesus challenges the Pharisees' legalistic interpretation of the Sabbath. Pharisees accused Jesus and his disciples to breaking the Sabbath's law. Jesus responds by referencing David's action when he and his companion ate the consecrated bread out of necessity. Jesus proclaimed the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. He was emphasizing the intent and purpose of the Sabbath as the time for rest and human well-being rather than a strict legalistic observance. He declared himself Lord even of the Sabbath, asserting his authority over Sabbath regulation. In Mark 3, Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, challenging the Pharisees' understanding of what is lawful on this holy day. He asks, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill? The Pharisees' silence and subsequently plotting to kill Jesus highlights their hardened hearts and the conflict between Jesus' mission and their rigid legalism. So friends, the shortage of God's word in 1 Samuel 3 and Jesus' revolutionary action in Mark 2 and 3 reveal different aspects of God's communication and intervention. In both instances, God's method challenges existing norms and calls his people to a deeper understanding and relationship with him. God has given us this lighthouse, this church, and there are many ships crying for help. Do we, like Samuel, learn to recognize God's voice through mentorship, attentiveness, guidance, and experience? Discerning God's voice requires openness, humility, willingness to listen beyond our preconception and expectations. How do we respond to God's call? Samuel responds to God's call, to God's difficult message about Eli's house, demonstrate his faithfulness and courage. Despite the harshness of the prophecy, Samuel does not shy away from delivering it, embodying the responsibility to answer faithfully to God's call. It shows the importance of integrity and obedience in our own life, even when God's message is challenging or countercultural. In Mark 2 and 3, Jesus' action on the Sabbath revealed his commitment to human well-being and sense of God's law. His willingness to challenge legalistic interpretations and prioritizing compassion over ritual observance call us to a deeper, more authentic practice of our faith. Responding to God's call often involves challenging established norms and acting with compassion and justice. In conclusion, the passage in 1 Samuel 3 and Mark 2 and 3 offers profound insight into God's methods of communication, the importance of discernment, and the responsibility of response faithfully to God's call. These narratives remind us the necessity of a spiritual renewal, the significance of the prophetic leadership, the importance of the compassion and justice in our faith practice. These texts challenge us to consider our own openness to God's voice and our willingness to act with integrity and compassion. They call us to reflect on the spiritual and moral state of our community and our role in nurturing renewal and faithfulness. May we discern God's voice in our lives and respond with faith and courage, prioritizing compassion and justice over rigid tradition. May the Lord renew our spirits and guide us to be faithful messengers of His love and truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.